Hi, I'm Jeremy Kirk with Intel 471, and welcome to another edition of Studio 471, which is our regular video interview series about computer security and cyber threat intelligence. Over the last decade, the MITRE Corporation has grown its attack framework. The framework comprises adversary behaviors that could be used to help defenders in a variety of ways. The latest version of attack has just been released, and here to discuss some of those changes and why attack is so important for defenders is Patrick Howell O'Neill, who's the lead cyber operations analyst with MITRE. Thank you very much for joining me, Patrick.
Thanks for having me, Jeremy.
So tell me a bit about your background and what you do at MITRE.
Sure. So my background is actually journalism. I was a journalist for about a decade before joining MITRE. I last worked at MIT Technology Review, but now at MITRE, my job title, like you said, lead cyber operations analyst, and that means a bunch of different things depending on the context and the project. But to keep it specific to attack, I do technique development for enterprise attack. So I write new techniques, I update old techniques, I say yes or no to proposed techniques, which we get plenty of proposals. And I have those kind of internal and external conversations that lead to those ultimate decisions.
So tell me a little bit more about attack, because this has become such a fundamental component in so many security shops, from CTI professionals to anybody who's basically studying adversaries. How do organizations use this in practice, and what sort of insights and value do they get out of it?
So it varies a lot from shop to shop. I'll give you my perspective from within MITRE, and then I'll help you try and understand how different places use it. So first and foremost, the boilerplate is that attack is a knowledge base of adversary tactics and techniques, all based on real world observations. So what does that actually mean? It means that we try to help defenders in a bunch of different ways. Attack, I think of it as a lingua franca for cyber. It's a common language that you are able to use to both understand and communicate actionable information about adversary TTPs and do it quickly so that defenders can focus on defending and focus specifically on the top of the pyramid of pain, right? So the TTPs that cause the most pain, the most hassle for an adversary to actually change. It's a knowledge base. It's a way to understand the entire dynamic universe of adversary behavior. That's something we're always trying to get better at. And ultimately, analysts, I should say, not adversaries, analysts can use attack to structure intelligence about adversary behaviors. Defenders can use it to structure information about what behavior they can detect and mitigate. Obviously, you can do great CTI without attack, but it's probably not as good as it can be, because it's probably not as actionable as it can be. The defender is probably not getting as much out of it as they could be. So, you know, we want it to be a powerful tool for defenders. But I'll also just add that, you know, like I said, I was a journalist previously. And when I was in that role, I was using attack in its knowledge base capacity. I was using it to understand an adversary will use this tool to enable this technique. And, you know, that's not exactly what the designers, the original creators of attack had in mind, but it's not that far off either.
Absolutely. And it goes through regular revisions, right? As you mentioned before, you get suggestions from people actively using it of new techniques to incorporate into it. Can you tell me a little bit about what goes into the decision making to decide, okay, this is something that we've seen? We know it has to be seen in the wild, as you mentioned as well. But what goes into some of that, I guess, decision making into this is going to be a new thing for attack?
So, just a little context. So like I mentioned earlier, I do technique development. And I think that techniques are what people think of when they think of attack. You know, there's a T code, there's a number, and there's a title and a description and all that good stuff. But I want to give a shout out to my teammates who work in other areas, because A, they're good teammates, but B, I think it's important for people to understand that attack has multiple dimensions, because in addition to techniques, we have to consider groups, software, campaigns, platforms, data sources, a bunch of different stuff. So we need all that different stuff to tell the adversary's full story. But in terms of techniques, we do a couple of different things. First of all, we're always interacting with the community. People are constantly sending us suggestions for new techniques. The email inbox is quite active. So in addition to discussions then with external community members, we do a lot of discussions internally. It might be as simple as like a one-on-one between me and Jamie Williams, who leads Attack Enterprise. But if things are more interesting, controversial, complicated, spicy, it could be a team-wide discussion where we think about, first of all, should we include this at all? But if so, how do we include it? What's the scope of the technique that we want to write here so that we're not, going too far outside of what we're looking for? I'll do a ton of research. I'll read a bunch of reporting. Like I said, all of attack has to be based on real-world observations. So that's where, the public reporting comes in really handy. And eventually it comes down to writing it up, going back and forth, finding the right spot, right? So is it a technique? Is it a sub-technique? Is it a tactic? All that good stuff. And then, I mean, you mentioned twice a year it comes out. So it's like, every 9 months, a beautiful new baby technique is born.
So last year there were some new techniques kind of drawn from cybercrime, and in preparation for this discussion, you mentioned to me that Attack is increasingly looking at cybercrime for new techniques to incorporate. Can you tell me about, and this is because Attack has traditionally been quite APT focused. Can you tell me a little bit more about that sort of transition, and how are you looking at some of the things that are happening in the cybercrime world, and I guess why that's appropriate for Attack?
Yes. First of all, on a personal note, I just feel that I should mention this. My wife is a CTI analyst, and she's specifically focused on cybercrime. And she rants about this subject at dinner all the time. And I use the word rant lovingly. And actually, she literally has a SleuthCon talk coming up about the growing parity between criminal actors and state-backed actors. So check it out at SleuthCon if you want. But the short version of that rant is that APTs have historically received a disproportionate amount of attention. Cybercrime actors have historically been dismissed. They're not as sexy. They're not as important. They're not as impactful. They're less worthy of resources. They're less worthy of headlines, right? To take the journalism perspective. Now, everything is context dependent. There are entities that need to dedicate this lion's share of resources towards state-backed entities, or just a lot of resources, right? But for most organizations, cybercrime is the threat that they need to put front of mind. That's the truth.
Yes.
And in many ways, cybercrime is now on par with state-backed actors in terms of, certainly in terms of sophistication, but you could make an argument that it's well surpassed state-backed actors in terms of impact. That's a little subjective, sure, because you can't measure all that kinds of impacts. And also, even the kind you can measure, reporting is largely voluntary in many contexts. So, but we
Right.
can safely say many, many billions of dollars is where the impact is, right? So whether it's ransomware, BEC, fraud of all kinds, whatever the cyber criminal actors desire. So Attack has to reflect that reality. Attack has to do justice to that groups, to the behaviors, to the techniques, all that stuff, because that's what real defenders are thinking about every day, right? When we're just working to better reflect the threat landscape, by making sure that the framework has more cyber criminal and just generally underreported adversary activity, not just a bunch of headline making APTs, as fun as they are.
And we should mention that last year there was several of those cybercrime techniques included impersonation, financial theft, spear phishing voice. And so this is there's been a lot of stories in the news about certain attack groups in the cybercrime world, specifically like calling the IT desk for specific companies and trying to get them to do something, and that whatever they're doing helps them, say, overcome MFA. So is that again, is that those kind of behaviors one of the made MITRE look at that sort of impersonation as a technique to use?
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, so the kind of whole goal of adding more cybercrime to attack is way bigger than just techniques. Like I said before, groups, campaigns, software, we're working hard to make sure that we're up to date and really reflecting reality and all that stuff. But in terms of techniques, yeah, so there's impersonation, financial theft, and a couple of different kinds of spear phishing voice are three in particular. that I wrote and added in last year's version. I believe that was version 14. I gave a talk about it at Attack Con last year about that kind of expansion in scope. And really what a lot of that involved, I mean, you mentioned impersonation. What a lot of that involved was discussions between Jamie Williams, who I mentioned before, Adam Pennington, who leads Attack overall, talking about how, you know, there's been the word that's got tossed around a lot is like an evolution in a lot of these techniques. You know, it's no longer just me emailing Jeremy saying, please send me $1 million and boom, we're done with the whole incident. It is, as you said, maybe I'm using it to get past MFA and it's part of a larger, more traditional kind of intrusion that Attack wants to cover. And so just because it's a cybercrime actor versus APTs or social engineering versus other kinds of malicious activity, that's really a distinction without a difference for a defender who needs to like understand, communicate about, and ultimately stop both of those things.
Yes. Let's talk about version 15, because there's some interesting new additions to that as well that you had a hand in writing. And one of those is AI obtained capabilities or artificial intelligence. Tell me about the internal discussions you had with dealing with AI and sort of, you know, the belief amongst many people that this is going to be increasingly embraced by threat actors.
So artificial intelligence and obtained capabilities is probably the funniest like process that I've been a part of in terms of developing techniques here, because I think AI automatically raises eyebrows, or at least it should, because it's such a badly abused buzzword right now, whether it's in cybersecurity or beyond, right? And yep. So AI was definitely met within Attack with skepticism. Like literally everyone was skeptical. Not skeptical as in like, no, we can't do this, but skeptical to the point of like, we really need to understand what this entails, what we're doing, how we're going to execute, that kind of thing. But there was Microsoft and OpenAI research that really did a great job of explaining that large language models are being used by threat actors to inform, bolster, and enable a bunch of different malicious tasks, right? Reconnaissance, creating basic scripts, even crafting payloads. Like, you know, again, you have to note with AI, like you have to note it repeatedly. There's just a lot of snake oil being sold right now. I think RSA is happening right now. So skepticism is warranted.
Yes.
And so I'm glad we had that kind of, I wouldn't call it difficult, but let's just say very thorough process. But the fact is, like, the use of it is real. We want to catalog it. We want defenders to understand it. We also want the increasing number of platform operators working in this space to understand it, to note it, things like that. So even though all the skepticism I've noted was real, everyone unanimously came down on inclusion on this. And I'll also just add that I'm really interested in seeing where this goes, who maps to it, and how analysts use this in the future. So please, like, tag me, email me, let me know. Just, you know, I can't wait to see how it goes in the wild.
That's great. And there's another technique, too, that was, I guess, introduced as a result of some of the activity. This is compromised infrastructure network devices. Tell me how that one came about and why it's been included.
So I didn't write this one, but I do enjoy it for its timeliness. It is about compromising third-party network devices to be used during targeting. So think about recent going-ons with Ivanti, Fortinet, Vault Typhoon. That's the kind of stuff that your mind should go to for this technique. And I encourage everybody to check it out. It's very timely.
I want to hit another one too, hide infrastructure too, because I think this is really interesting from kind of a cybercrime research perspective. What's the adversary trend around that one?
So hide infrastructure is about adversaries essentially manipulating network traffic in order to hide and evade detection of their C2 infrastructure, right? So I think personally, I think this is really fun. But maybe more importantly, I think it was a real omission in previous versions of Attack. So what you want to think of is when adversaries work to identify automated defensive tools and then filter traffic from them, right? That's one of the kinds of behavior that we're talking about here. When adversaries filter for sandboxing, or even when they filter for a specific research or activity based on like IP or geofencing, that's the kind of behavior that we're talking about. So if you're interested in that, I would first of all go read the technique, but also we have like a dozen or two dozen citations for that technique. So there's just a lot to sink your teeth into. And I would also say, I think there's a lot more going on there. And there's a gap in public reporting versus actual activity. So please report more on it and let us know. We would love to really fill in the gap and make sure we're reflecting adversary activity.
That's great. Let's talk a little bit about the roadmap for attack this year and coming up. I know one of the things that has been mentioned is that there's going to be more of a focus on macOS and Linux. Can you tell me what the plans are in that area?
Yeah, well, so the emphasis on macOS and Linux is part of a broad effort to fill in the gaps that currently exist in attack. So you can kind of say call it a cousin of the effort that we're talking about with cybercrime, but there's other similar efforts going on. So okay, you mentioned macOS and Linux. The ICS matrix is going to be expanding quite a lot this year. I know that the mobile matrix is going to be expanding quite a lot this year. So there's efforts, there's like specific lines of efforts that we're endeavoring on right now, basically to make sure that we don't have gaps in attack that renders it, if not useless, then less than ideal for certain kinds of defenders who are working in these areas.
And you recently had a workshop in Singapore that I heard was very successful. Tell me what else is coming up this year and how people can in person learn more about attack and how to use it.
So the flagship event is AttackCon. That's held in October in our headquarters in the DC area. And we also have workshops coming up in Europe and in the Asia Pacific area region. So I would say that if you're interested, especially in the workshops, I would go look at the recent attack roadmap blog that's published on the attack blog. It has information about it as well as will point you in the right direction in terms of link. In terms of AttackCon, I don't believe too much specific information beyond the fact that it will take place in October has been released yet, but keep your eyes peeled on the blog. And I invite everyone to come because AttackCon is really fun. And it's a great way if you're interested in attack, if you want to understand it more or talk with other practitioners who use it or the people who make it, that's the place to go.
That's excellent. Patrick, thank you so much for joining me. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.